Ars Electronica, 2006. Simplicity, the art of complexity.
The first piece we're going to start with is the Golden Leica winner, 458 nanometers. And with us today are the filmmakers Jan Bitzer, Ilya Brunk, and Tom Weber from the Film Academy in Baden-Württemberg. And again, as I said, this is a very photorealistic, it creates a world that was shot so accurately in terms of macro photography, photographic techniques. Very, very impressive creation of this alternate reality. So why don't we go ahead and show this piece.
Thank you.
Well, that's an amazing piece of filmmaking there. Obviously, you're inspired by things like Oxford Scientific Photography or films like Microcosmos, but it's very, very impressive. I love the photographic techniques that were used, depth of field, imperfect camera movements, very, very process and the issues you were addressing.
So, hi. First, for some instruction, this is Jan Bitzer. He'll talk to you a little bit about compositing and rendering and camera techniques, like you said. And this is Tom Weber, and he'll talk to you about the concepts and the designs a little bit. And I'm Ilya, and I'll give you some talk about the rigging and animation process. For general, all three of us, like he said, we're students at the Film Academy, and we made the movie in the second year of our study in a course called Filmgestaltung. I think best translation for it could be experimental filmmaking or something. And we are free in this course just to do whatever we want to do, what kind of movie ever we want to do. And the course is running from October to February, and this is the time setup where we made the movie. And I think Tom will give you some talk about the design.
Hi, I'm Tom, and I want to start off with a short overview of the storyboard. Could we switch? Could we switch to the computer screen? Thank you. You can see the storyboard, which was, we didn't have that much images in there because we weren't sure about the parts in between. We were sure about the different stages in the movie, that at first we were very up close to the snails, and then slowly the camera would move outwards until we have the picture with both snails in there. Next, please. Then the snails come up to each other, and we surround them with the camera, picking different views to give you a feeling how the snails actually look after being so close to them for the first time of the movie. Then the feeler shots come; the two snails engage in a quasi fight, and after that they start their loving act. And in the end, when they are glowing very bright, a shadow drops out of the sky and eats the snails and flies away, and you can see the light fading away. So, next page, this is a typical design page for the bird model, where different types of beak structures, different types of birds were tried out. In the end, we didn't want to have a real predator like a bird of prey, but something more like a raven, which is something you see every day and you see in your backyard. Same thing with snails. It's something that's around us all the time, and it's nothing that threatens us really, but you can give the quality to it by applying it into this context. So this is the final design of the bird, the middle one. We realized then that we don't need a full bird, that we only need the head part and the leg part, because everything else would be faded back into the black and the blurriness. Okay, this is a final model of the untextured model of the foot of the bird, and this is the head of the bird untextured as well. And you can see most of the detail later was added via texture maps and bump maps, and so the models are pretty plain. This is the first page I drew when we knew that we were working with snails, and here I was trying to figure out if you wanted four feelers, if you wanted what kind of snail would be really matching for our movie. And again, we came up with the snails that we find in our backyards. Also here are the first mechanical parts, and out of these little elements, basically the later snail model, the finished model, was assembled and then redrawn into a full picture. These are the inner parts of the snail. This was actually the hardest design part because they had to fit the rigging system that Ilya set up, and we worked for maybe 3 months going back and forth from drawings into rigging, and then he gave me some dummy objects, which I, in the end, encased in the design I started to develop during that time. another example. This was the final one, and this is the final snail. And from this picture, we developed all the parts. In the start, we were sure about the head, about the back piece of the snail, but the inner parts, as I said, was a very long process, which we had to develop over a long course. And in the end, we had the snail shell, and you can see there's a lot of stuff going inside the snail shell. But in the end, we saw that light wouldn't pass through it, but we had to have that. And then, without drawing, I sat down on the computer and started to do this because we had a limited time frame at that moment. And this was the final design piece. And now I'll pass over to Ilya. Thank you.
Yes, some rigging things. The rigging process, so we produced the 3D for the movie completely in XSI version 5, and the 2D we made in combustion. And for the rigging process, the first thing we had to do is watching a lot of snails moving and imagine what is the important things about them moving. And the very characteristic thing about it is snails are really, really flexible in every area, every part of their body. They're very free on their length axis to get every shape you can imagine, and they are very stretchable on the lower side of their bodies. So just to talk, I could go much more into detail, but just a short talk about the main spine construction. So I got to get the flexible thing in the length. What we used here is just some XSI standard control splines. What is happening there is just the gray elements you see here are just staying on the length of the spline. It's what we started with. Next one. We developed it a little bit. It came to this one. It's still just standard control splines in XSI, and it did a lot of things for what we wanted it to do. The only problem we had with this one is we had no control over the. You can see a little bit the different elements we got on the length of the snail, and in this version we had no control over the distance of the elements, and so we needed to find another solution. As you can see in the next one, and yeah, here's some more developed thing. It's just constraints, and now we got the control we need over the distance. And next. And this is, yeah, how we move the snail, actually. Just as you can see on the very top, controlling it via some controls and just animating the path percentage, just via path constraint. And the final construction we ended up with for the snail moving is something like this. Just constraints, everything constrained on those yellow splines you see there, the yellow one and the black one. And the single elements, Tom showed the designs before. We don't need this one, I think. So, no. And yeah, that's it for rigging, I think. Here's some, yeah, cool. This is the final reconstruction for the snails making love. This is actually the performance we had to work with. I think speeded up 4 times. Was big fun. And yeah, let's talk about compositing.
Okay, so normally this shot should lead us to the compositing. Yes, it does. Cool. Okay, compositing. So I was mostly responsible for the appearance of the snails for the set, for the lighting, and for the compositing, for shading. And what I'm going to show you... Oh, I was also responsible for camera movement, and this was a good example for hand camera and... very small angled camera views, like you use it in animal documentaries. And here's some other expressions for depth of field effects. We wanted to have a strong depth of field effect because if you go to this small animals and you want to behave like you want to make a movie, a real movie about small animals or a documentary, you have to have small angled camera views. This was the set we developed this. It's not a very big set, and it looks kind of crappy. This is how it looks when it is textured flat. And as you can see, like here in the corner, you see the texture repeats. So I didn't care much about texturing at all because the time period was so short. And what I did then was just turn around. By adding some shadow map, looks quite better. And if you then go and add some depth of field effect, it's all looking brilliant. Because you can, it's like faking. You cover away all the things you don't like. And that's how we did it. So here's some impressions. Where I used dummy objects, it took me like, I think, 1 or 2 months just setting up the whole scene, setting up the snails that are glowing from inside. Here is it's a little bit dark. Just another piece. And this was, we had big problems with the body shader because we wanted to have a subsurface scattering effect. But render times exploded when we had this kind of shading adapted to the body. So we had to find another solution. Oh, okay. This was one of the first tests I did, trying to find out how the camera should behave, and we were really happy with this one because it showed us that it's possible. This was one of the first animation tests Ilya did, and I just took the snail and put it in my render scene. We set it up in XSI. You have the possibility to set up everything in passes. And we also work with reference models, so we just had to replace the reference models in the final render scene. And the different parts were already split up in the several passes. This is an example how the body shader worked. We had to fake that because, as I already said, the subsurface scattering took too long to render. What you can see now is how it looks without our volume effect. This is just transparency map and just normal diffuse. And actually, the blue thing or the blue background was surrounding the whole scene all the time. And what we did, we switched off the primary rays for this sphere surrounding the scene, put a simple volume shader inside of the body, which is here, and the effect you get out of it is on the thicker parts of the snail, it appears more darker bluish, and on the thinner parts, it appears more lighter bluish. Because just the secondary rays of the sphere surrounding were refracted through the body. And if you add that to the transparency map and the diffuse map, it looks like moonlight scattering through jellyfish-like body structure. And this was much easier to render. So here's some examples of the metal shading. We hardly used any ray tracing for the whole rendering because it was too complex. We had too great geometry. And so we made heavy use of non-ray traced reflection maps. It's another example of the head. It's all very simple shaded. It's not. I've got another piece, I think, where you can see how it looks coming straight out of the renderer. Yeah, it's this one. Okay, so this is one of the final shots, already composited and color corrected. And this is how it looks coming straight out of the renderer. It looks really flat, no highlights. See is how we split it up, hopefully. Yeah. So we had, like, the first pass was the outer parts. Then we had the body parts, you've seen already. Then we had the inner parts of the snail. And other passes like the ground, the background. The depth of field pass, very important. We did depth of field effects in the post-production. And masking pass. Yeah, I don't know. Have we got anything else? No. Should be all. Okay, we didn't use passes like beauty passes like diffuse or ambient passes or stuff like that. We mostly divided the scene up in object passes, and we did that for every scene. We had one setup where Ilya just had to animate the snail and gave it to me in the render scene, and I just replaced the reference model, and it was already set up in the different passes, and just have to press the render button, and it worked. Okay, this was really short, but I think it's all, isn't it? Yeah, about the techniques.
You guys did a great job. It's very interesting to sort of see all the practical solutions you came up with, just like making a regular movie. The program of the Film Academy has done a lot of great work. It's very great program there. I particularly like the way you dealt with translucency there, right? Because it looked very beautiful. It's a very, a lot of times complex things can be done very simply in all arenas in life.